Hello everyone, so I'll be doing the second episode about my autism mom ideal companion. This is the finality of the series. So let's focus on the romantic things I would love to do with my autism mom ideal companion. I'll be reading a little bit, but for the most part, I'll be speaking off the top of my head. When it comes to my autism mom ideal companion, I could definitely see us with the breakfast in bed or lunch in bed or dinner in bed tradition that we have sometimes. I could see us feeding each other. I could see us giving each other drinks to drink from. I could see us drinking out of the same glass or the same bottle with two different straws. I could see us drinking out of the same cup from two different straws too. I could see us flying kites together. I could see us going on picnics together. I could see us traveling the world together, going to parts of the world that are level one, categorized by the State Department of America. I could see us journeying in the parks, I could see us rolling around in the grass. I could see us taking showers together. I don't think any of us would take showers alone. Actually, it's taking bubble baths together. I don't think any of us would take bubble baths alone. I could see us using rose petals. I could see us doing candlelight dinners. I could see us reading books together. I could see us vacationing together at safe resorts. I could see ourselves visiting historical landmarks together. I could see us sending each other racy and rosy text messages together. I could see us doing legal sexting together. I could definitely I could definitely see us just reading dictionaries together, reading encyclopedias together, reading thesauruses together. I could see us being avid literature readers together. I could see us writing poetry and reciting poetry to each other. I could see us engaging in philosophical, ideological, theological trains of thought, in-depth dialogues. I could see us reading articles, even autism or diversity articles together. Let's see. I could see us going to the movies together and watching movies at home. I could see us going to see documentaries together and watching documentaries at home. I could see me sending her flowers and chocolates while she's working, and her doing the same for me while I'm working. I could see us singing to each other while her colleagues are watching and my colleagues are watching. I could see us doing couples dances and slow dances. I could truly see us having a couple's theme song that we dance to and sing to each other, like our favorite song. I could see us doing chair dancing too together. I could see us having our own karaoke nights by ourselves, and us going in a eatery or establishment, and like we just make up lyrics on the spot, because it's like, look, we're very much ad-libbers, we're unscripted, so let's just make up our own lyrics that talk about how much we love each other. I could see us doing that. I could also see us doing sexual role playing. I could see us doing like actor role playing. We play roles and do acting scenes together. I could see us doing that. I could see us coming up with scripts off the top of our head. Let me see. I could see us watching independent news media together and dissecting what is called current events. I could see us doing each other's favorite hobbies. Like, let's say, I'll give you at least two examples of doing each other's favorite hobbies. Let's say she has an NFL team that's her favorite. Even though I love football, I'm a fan of the sport, I've never had an NFL team that I eyed myself on to go, okay, that's my favorite team. But I could learn how to be an NFL team fan by going to football games with her and learning the history of the team. And also, she could teach things about football I may not know. I've seen, just because you see something all the time, it doesn't mean that you exactly fully know what you're seeing. So she could teach you things about football, because when it came to Madden sports, I played them. Video game wise, I usually never won. But when it came to like NBA 2K games, I won a lot of times. I didn't always win, but a lot of times I did win. You know, young people playing video games with each other. They would play either Madden or 2K, right? And so, every now and then with Madden, I would win. All I knew was you pass the ball and you run to the touchdown field. That's all I knew. The whole, like, exact plays in football, I didn't understand. But any play that you give me in basketball, I could understand, and most of the time I won. And so she could teach me how to win Madden 2K games, football games. She could teach me how to win those. She could show me exactly what football plays are. She's basically would be like my football coach, because I'm like, okay, wow, I can win more Madden games because of her. Second last example is, like, let's say she hasn't really read autobiographies. She doesn't mind it. It's just not something that she's consistently done. That's when I can come in and say, hey, let's read Frederick Douglass's 3 autobiographies. Let's read Malcolm X's autobiography, right? And I can help her to understand why autobiographies are so fantastic. And so I'm helping her to go, wow, to put your own story in literary form, in book version, and you can bless the world by people learning life lessons about your life. That is awesome. That could maybe help her say, you know what, I'm going to write my autobiography. Of course, she's going to feature me in it, because if I write my own story again, which I will be doing, I would feature her in it. It could be co-written, like husband wife team, you know, it could be like that. And then, I mean, when I think about how important it is for me to have her by my side, right, I often think about this. I think that is so important to be able to have somebody who can even partner up with neurodiversity and autism organizations with me. I think that would be wonderful. And I think that would really help us out, to have somebody who would say, hey, this is, I'm an autism mom, and this is my autism husband or autism boyfriend, because I'm not making marriage a requirement. She probably would. I can't think of an autism mom who hasn't made marriage a requirement. All the ones I've ever met in life, they did not want to just sleep with you and date you and that's it. They wanted the house, this, and the spouse. And so, there's more than likely, I'll be her husband, which I am already with. So, she would definitely say something along the lines of, I'm an autism mom, and this is my husband who's on the spectrum. And people be like, wow, you married your core population of those you do servant leadership for. It would pleasantly blow people's minds. And then I feel that what would be so wondrous is to know a person like her, that we could help heal each other's traumas. Like, I could see us going to couples counseling together. I could see us going to marriage counseling together. I could see us going to premarital counseling, premarital therapy together. I could see us doing individual therapy, and I could also see us doing, you know, like group therapy. It's us and maybe a therapist or two. I could definitely see us consulting psychiatrists together to see if we ever need any kind of medication. I could see us consulting psychologists. Hey, is there anything that happened to us when we're younger that we need to uncover and discover? Right? I could see us consulting with life coaches. Okay, is there any goals that we need help meeting, personal and professional? I could see us doing career coaches. Hey, entrepreneurially speaking, are we on the up and up? I could even see us, like if we ever need sex coaching, we would definitely go. If we ever need sex experts, we would definitely go. If we ever need sexologists, we would definitely go. If we need intimacy coaches and pleasure coaches, sensuality coaches, erotic coaches, we would definitely go. Because you never know. We're human, so not everything is, as you all know, easy all the time, you know. And so I think with her, I could really, really see us truly like if we need help with dating coach, just because sometimes autism moms it's hard to date, we would go see them. Or I feel like if we ever need to see a sex therapist, we would go. That's not to say that we're bad at being each other's lovers. It's because knowing her, it may be because we're autism mom. A lot of autism moms struggle with sex, with dating, with marriage. They may struggle with eroticism, sensuality, intimacy. So we're really going primarily because of her, potentially and possibly. Plus, a lot of autism moms struggle with body image issues. So we would definitely have to seek a body image coach to help us out. And we would definitely see trauma therapists to help us out. I could, we can definitely, I could see us going to couples retreats. She may go on her women's retreat, me on my men's retreat. I could see us going on sex retreats. And, you know, I could see her in support groups. I'm in my support groups. We're in joint support groups. I could, you know, I could see us like, catching flights together, sitting in the same seats. That would be ginormously remarkable for me. You know, I could, because me and her would probably definitely be wordsmiths, I could see us having fun disclosing what nouns mean, what plural nouns mean, what singular nouns mean, what feminine nouns mean, what masculine nouns mean, what non-binary pronouns mean, what pronouns mean, what verbs mean, what transitive verbs mean, what intransitive verbs mean, what auxiliary verbs mean, what impersonal verbs mean, what adjectives mean, what adverbs mean, what prepositions mean, what conjunctions mean, what interjections mean, what definite articles mean, what indefinite articles mean, and what possessive pronominal adjectives mean, and all these parts of speech labels and what they mean. We would talk about the importance of word divisions, pronunciations, inflected forms, etymology, as some of the examples, which y'all get the point. That's in meanings, denotations, connotations, definitions. We would definitely do that if we would read like Webster's or Oxford dictionaries together as examples. That was a little bit of the reading. Now, I have met some autism moms, and this is what they've told me. Notice, this is what they told me, so I'm being anti-misogyny when I tell you this. There were some who told me, Antonio, I wish that we could be your autism mom harem. Like, because there were non-autism moms and autism moms who would say, we would love to be a part of Antonio's harem. Now, I want to preface this by making this absolutely clear. There would be no concubines in the harem. There would be no female domestic servants in the harem. There would be no unmarried female relatives in the harem. There would be no prepubescent male children in the harem. There would be no unmarried daughters in the harem. In fact, they said, we want Antonio to be the only male in the harem that has us autism moms and women that are not autism moms, right? That's what they told me, and I've always loved the idea of not going to lie. Because there are some autism moms who, and non-autism moms, other women who are like, well, can we all just enjoy Antonio? We will never abandon each other. We will never neglect each other. That we will never cheat on each other. We will never create babies without each other's permission. And, you know, there will be, with Antonio, you already know, there's zero abuse, zero violence, zero trauma, zero victimization, zero brutality, zero oppression, zero marginalization, zero disenfranchisement, zero social ostracism. There will be no child support custody fights. There'll be no parental custody fights. There'll be no child support fights, I meant to say. There will be no misogyny, there'll be no misandry, there'll be no racism, there'll be no queerphobia, there will be no ableism at all. And they said, our harem will not be reserved for the women of the house in a Muslim family or a other people of other religions family. We don't even call our harem domestic spaces. They've even said to me that it could be a polygamous harem, or it could be an ethical non-monogamy harem, where if we all just say, you know what, we can just be happy to have Antonio around, and marriage doesn't have to be something that we want, that's okay too. And you're probably wondering, what about the serpents? It's like, well, we even said to each other, some of us, we said that we would do all the domestic household staff membership work ourselves, right? Or if we have household staff workers, they can help us work on the home, but they cannot live with us. And you're saying, well, what if y'all have children? We would have them live in another, we would have them live in like a second house, right? Where we check on them, make sure they're okay, and that we take turns, each of us spending the night to make sure the kids are okay. And of course, we make sure that they have domestic household staff members looking after them, but the domestic household staff members cannot live with them. So they live in like the second home. And that's what we came up with. We were having this creative banter with one another. You know, like one of us makes sure, okay, the kids are fine, checking on the kids, one of us at a time, but for the most part, you know, when the kids are with their, you know, with our relatives, we usually get to have the whole home of the harem to ourselves. The second home will not be a harem because obviously they're children, clearly, crystal clearly. And I want to make it clear, in our harem there will be no incest, no pedophilia, no statutory rape, no concubinage. There will be economic integrity, there will be moral integrity, not having too many kids, not having too many responsibilities and duties, you know. And I'll be able to remember everybody, every woman's name, and never forget any woman, and they'll all remember me. And then there will be no sexual bullying, no sexual violence, no sexual harassment, no street harassment, no sexual grooming, no sexual abuse, no sexual assault, no groping. No sexual slavery, no sexploitation, no sexual exploitation, no sexual misconduct, no intimate partner sexual violence, no domestic sexual violence, no domestic violence, no domestic abuse, no domestic disputes, no adult abuse, no child abuse, no child on adult abuse, no adult on child abuse. No gang rapes, no one being jumped. Jumped means a group of people beating up one person. No rape culture, no violence culture at all. No heated arguments, no cursing each other out. No tabloid talk show horseshit in real life. No crime show bullshit in real life. And no court show dog shit in real life. That's basically the type of harem we were discussing having. And we also decided that, hey, if more of us don't want kids, we can, Antonio can have a vasectomy and we can get our tubes tied, but still make each other come. We've talked about these possibilities. And and the reason why they said that, this is what they referred to me. This is not being braggadocious. I just really value input from women. And they said to me, Antonio, you are what we would call a gentleman whore. And they actually quoted Urban Dictionary to me. They said, but they personalized it with me. They said, Antonio, you are exactly like a man whore, except you are a gentle man whore who holds himself with considerably more class than your other male counterparts. You are distinguished in all the right ways. You are charming in all the good ways, and you do nothing but respect the women you are with. And you respect the women that you are around, and you respect the women who are not even near you. And they even, I remember, I'm gonna get back to this mom my ideal campaign in a moment, but this is the conversation we had, I gotta get this out. They said that, they said, however, we also disagree partly with UrbanDictionary.com. They said there are only two circumstances in which a woman can differentiate between a gentleman and a gentleman. They said, Antonio, you are a gentleman who has your own innumerable women partners because you are a good, honorable, courteous, chivalrous man. You don't feel any entitlement towards women. You don't feel entitlement towards women's bodies and women's souls. And they said, you treat women well for all the correct reasons. And then they said, we also disagree with UrbanDictionary.com because it says that occurs when A, she finds out by engaging in coitus, or B, the gentleman whore is ousted by one of her friends who's already had relations with a gentleman whore in question, named Black Antonio. None of that has anything to do with you. They said because no one has to tell you to be polite towards women. You just genuinely are, and you're pure-hearted towards women. And they said that's why a lot of women choose to share their bodies with you, and you're not even being kind to women just to get them to have sex with you. You're not even doing that. You have been kind to women when usually there was no sex involved and you had no sexual intentionality at all. And they said that when it comes to women, you're extraordinarily sexually responsible. You're extraordinarily sensually responsible, extraordinarily erotically responsible, you're extraordinarily romantically responsible, you're extraordinarily socially responsible, and you're extraordinarily interpersonally responsible. And then they said, Antonio, when it comes to women, you are extraordinarily sexually accountable, extraordinarily sensually accountable, extraordinarily erotically accountable, extraordinarily romantically accountable, extraordinarily socially accountable, and extraordinarily interpersonally accountable. And they said, you have intellectual intimacy with women. You have emotional intimacy with women. You have psychological intimacy with women. And they said, that is why women flock to you, because you value the brains of women, the feelings of women, and the learning, unlearning, relearning when it comes to women, and the thinking, unthinking, rethinking when it comes to women. They appreciate all those things about you. They said, you're not a dirty dog. You're not the one to think with your dick. That's what they said. And they said, you don't see women as ass, tits, and pussy. That's what they told me. And they said, we don't experience female sexual objectification from you. We don't experience female commodification from you. We don't experience female dehumanization from you. We don't experience female self-objectification inspired by you. We never experienced that from you. They said, we do not even experience female reification. You don't objectify our social relationships. You know, I remember them, like, even saying to me these things, because the women I usually talk to are intellectuals just like me. They said, we don't experience instrumentality from you. We don't experience denial of autonomy from you. We don't experience inertness from you. We don't experience fungibility from you. We don't experience viability from you. We don't experience slavery ownership from you. We don't experience denial of subjectivity from you. We don't experience reduction of body from you. We don't experience reduction to appearance from you. And we don't experience silencing from you. And they said, we don't experience the male gaze, G-A-Z-E, from you. Meaning, they're talking to me, as you know. And, you know, the last thing was, I remember them saying to me, that I was someone that they truly had a heart for, because I was heartfelt to them. I have a heart for them, and they're heartfelt to me. You know, I remember them saying to me, that you know, Antonio, you're not a two-timer. You don't lead anybody on. We know exactly where you stand with us, and we know exactly where and you know exactly where we stand with you, right? How does this all relate to the Autism Mom Ideals Companion? Remember, in the beginning I said, autism moms, non-autism moms would have these talks with me. Sometimes they would have these talks together, and other times they, both types of women, would have what they talked about, they would share with me. All three of us. So that's how I relate. And I noticed that, okay, that's the last thing I'll say. Now, this is the women talking. They said, Antonio, I think it would be cool if you had, if we had a harem for you where you would have all the BBWs and all the slim thicks in one house all just for you. For those that don't know, BBW is big beautiful women. This is what the ladies are saying. And they said, wouldn't it be great if you had all the wide hips from all, from, wouldn't it be great if you had all the wide childbearing hips in one house all just for you? Then they said, Antonio, what if you had, what if we had, do you have all the big butts, big boobs, and wide hips and wide waists from all races and skin tones just for you? What if you had a harem of women of all nationalities and all body types just for you? And they said, what if you had new, voluptuous, curvaceous, shapely women who are amply proportioned? Basically, taking care of you, taking care of them, like. And the women were like, and this is what the women are saying, so there's no misogyny to this. They're like, what if they were your bathers, your chefs, your nurses, your secretaries, your and your drivers and your personal assistants? They said, wouldn't it be great to have them make you meals and make you snacks and desserts without having any clothes on just for you? And they walk around without any attire on whatsoever, no wardrobes in sight. This is what the women would tell me. So some of these women saying these things were autism moms too. They're like, yeah, Antonio, we know you don't mind living with full-figured, plus-size women at home. And what if that, and what if the ladies clean for you in their birthday suits? What if they, what if these unclothed, supermodel looking women were your household staff members? And I was just blown away. And they said, Antonio, you mind your own business in your own world, and that's why women approach you on purpose. And I was pleasantly stunned, pleasantly shocked, pleasantly amazed, and pleasantly astonished, and pleasantly relieved. I felt a pleasant triumph, pleasant pleasure. I felt pleasant contentment, pleasant humility, and pleasant gratitude with every word that they were saying to me. Now let's get back to the autism on my ideal companions. The romantic stuff we would do, let's get back to that. I just had to release that. So I could also see my autism mom ideal companion and myself. I could see us being in nature. I could see us having our own camping in our own tents, or having our own teepees. You know, I could truly see us going to the zoos, going to the carnivals, going to the amusement parks. And they said that, you know, I could see us going to sporting events. I could see, you know, that's what I could see. I could just go to sporting events. I could, seeing us take cat naps together. That's not misogyny. Cat naps is the original colloquialism for naps back in like the 19th century, I think. When I think about I could see us truly just playing video games together, board games together, card games together. I could see us doing cross-world puzzles together, jigsaw puzzles together. I could see us playing like Connect Four. I could see us playing Bingo. I could see us playing Scrabble together. I think that would be nice to do. I could see us going to aquariums. Let me see here. I'm just really thinking now. More than ever I did an episode, but I could see us doing laundry, and I could see us, you know, just really having that place to ourselves, you know, the home to ourselves, where we do like foot massages. I could see us bathing one another. I could see us, you know, having meals ready when one of us gets home and they're home, and one of us is home before the other gets home. I could see us paying for each other when we go out, like I got the bill or you got the bill. Or I could see us deciding who the positive people will be in our home only, and evil people, toxic people will stay out of our homes. We can discuss, okay, positive people in our phones only, positive people in our cell phones only, positive people in our work phones only, positive people in our home phones only, and evil people, toxic people will not have access to our cell phone number, work phone numbers, cell phone numbers, and house numbers. I could see us truly making sure that car notes, and insurances and mortgages aren't correct, and that we're not being ripped off, nor Ponzi schemed, nor bankrupt. You know, I could see us going to positive events and positive functions and doing positive networking. I could see us doing servant leadership together. I could see us doing social entrepreneurship together. Now, so many people ask me, do you think relationship is 50-50? And, you know, how much? I would go, well, it depends on our individual strengths and weaknesses. It also depends on our collective strengths and weaknesses, too. So I can't put a number on it. I can't put a ratio statistic nor a percentage on it. What I can say is that that we would definitely have fun with just making sure that with understanding that there will be no making each other jealous. You know, there will be no fighting over Antonio at all. There will be no There will be no what some women would call cattiness or pettiness. That's what they call it. I'm just quoting them. And, you know, in terms of love, I could really see us crying together when we absolutely need to. Not because of each other, but, you know, sometimes life is hard. And I see us grieving well together. And in our relationship, we don't lash out ever. We take constructive criticism well because we're about learning and growing in the midst of failures from failures in general. You know, I could really see us truly making sure that we have no violated deal breakers in our relationship. No abuse, no addiction, no self-destructive behavior, no criminality. You know what I mean? Like, no pure evil. No infidelity of any kind. And, you know, no arguments, anything like that. No. No scandals, no femme fatales, no honey traps, no sex espionage, no revenge porn, no sextortion, no digital sex crimes, no online posting of hidden camera recordings, no sexting without each other's permission, you know, when I think about myself and my cousin, my ideal companion, I can see us writing books together. I can see us podcasting together. I can see us presenting at conferences as a consortium together. I can see us presenting at workshops and seminars together. I can see us presenting at retreats together. I can see us being booked by houses of worship and secular institutions to do presentations on autism and neurodiversity together. You know, I could truly see us doing presentations to politicians, to celebrities, to even the Ivy League world. Even to big banks about how they can help us fight for autism rights and disability rights and the deaf rights movement and neurodiversity and to overcome the intersectionality of inequality and the intersectionality of inequities. I could see that too. I definitely feel that. I could also see us journaling together, doing like deep breathing meditations together. I could see us doing yoga together. I could see us doing Zumba together. I could see us doing Pilates together. I could see us jumping rope together. I could see us playing on the playground together. I could see us being on the merry-go-round and going down the slide and doing and pushing each other on the swings. I could see us being on the playground teeter-totter seesaw playground equipment together. I can see us being on trampolines to get jumping on trampolines together. I can see us doing appropriate public displays of affection together. I can see people telling us to get a room and we would immediately obey them. Make out sessions, obviously we'll do that together. And being googly eyed, I can see that. I can see us having rosy facial cheeks, blushing because of one another, and us being respectfully braggadocious braggarts about each other. And in closing, I could see us being a economic powerhouse for all the lovely reasons.